begin our Bible study. We're in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 7 and verse 26. We stopped at verse 25 last week. So if you have Acts 7, verse 26, we're talking about Stephen's testimony before the council, the Sanhedrin probably. So let's read 26, 27, and 28 of the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 26. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Alright, so starting with the first thing, who's talking here? Who's this about? Moses. Alright, he's talking about Moses. And he showed himself unto them as they strove. What does it mean to strive? Fought. All right, they were fighting and probably hitting one another. Who knows? Wrestling. Who knows what? And so, what did Moses want to do with these brethren? What does this mean? Set them at naught, or one? He set them one again. Excuse me. Set them at one. What does that mean? What do you want to do with these? They want to make peace between them. They're two Hebrew men. They were fighting, warring, and asked why do you do wrong to another, something was wrong that was being done. And who was the one that spoke up? The innocent or the guilty, in verse 27? The innocent or the guilty? The guilty, all right? Why was the... He said, he that did the wrong, he that did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away. And the question was what? Why did he ask this question, do you suppose? What was this Jewish man doing?
He was aware of what happened previously.
He knew what was happening. He knew that he'd killed an Egyptian before. What was the occupation of this Jewish man that was fighting with the both Jewish men? What were their occupations? What were they doing? Were they bricklayers? Were they video men? Were they teachers?
Slaves.
Slaves. They were slaves. They were under great, serious bondage, weren't they? So one slave fighting with another, who made thee ruler, he asked, and a judge over us. And then, of course, verse 28, was, will you kill me as you did the Egyptian? He knew about that, and he committed murder, and this was wrong. Let's read verse 29, 30, and 31 again. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. All right, he fled as a stranger to the land of Midian. And where would Midian be? He's in Egypt here. Midian is somewhere backside of the desert, somewhere like that. So he went over here, this area, Midian, somewhere in there, and fled. So he was in that desert for how long? 40 years, that's right. How long was he in Egypt before he fled? 40 years. Then when they went out of Egypt in the deliverance, they wandered the same wilderness, how long was he wandering?
40 years.
So 40, then the Midian, then back 40 years ago, it was 40, 120, that's when he died. It was 120 years of age. So he was a stranger in Midian. Now he begat two sons. What was his wife? Who was his wife?
Zipporah.
Zipporah, all right. Zipporah was her name. And her father, what was his occupation? The father's occupation. Well, he was a priest, wasn't he? Priest of On. Pardon me? No, this is the father of Moses was the father-in-law. He was a priest of Midian, so probably a foreign priest. Raul was one of the names. He had two names. Raul, and there's another one. Jethro. Yeah, Jethro's father-in-law, and then Raul. They had two names, the same man. Maybe that was his middle name, one was his first name. So he went and he got two sons. What were the sons' names? It's hard one to remember. Well, Gershon, maybe. We just read that this week, didn't we? In Exodus.
We read that one son. Did we read that the other son?
I think he had the two sons. They're different names, see? No, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari were Aaron's sons. Why did I ask that question? Exodus. Yeah, those are Levi's, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Yeah, those are Levi's sons, yeah. And Aaron was of the tribe of Kohath. Yeah. Well, we're back in Exodus. What? Chapter what? Gershon, is it? What verse is it?
I found it.
Exodus 3? 3:22. 3:22. 3, what? 3, verse 2, okay.
222.
Oh, 222, okay. All right, Zipporah is right. Gershom, you're right there, Nari, to start with. Find a stranger. And I guess the second one we haven't come to.
I don't know, maybe it's a key, I think, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. Content to dwell with Moses and Tetra. Where does it say he was preached of on?
Midian.
Yes, in verse 16. Had seven daughters, they came. Priest of Midian. And somewhere it says also the priest of On. That's just one of the things. He was a Midianite. All right, so he had two sons there when he was out, a stranger. And then he was there in the desert how many years again, according to verse 30, in Midian? How many years was he in the stranger? 40 years, Moses was. And then when the 40 years were expired, who appeared to him?
The Lord.
The Lord. And notice what part of the Sinai Desert was it? What part was it? Where did he appear? Where did he appear?
Wilderness.
Horeb. Mount Horeb. Horeb or Mount Sinai. And that was probably down the southern end of this. So he was way down in this area here. I believe that Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Moses got the Ten Commandments. And how did the Lord appear unto him?
The bush.
A burning bush, a flame of fire. And verse 31, did Moses think that was a normal thing to see? What was the reaction in verse 31? Pardon me?
He wondered at the sight.
He wondered, he just didn't know what was that, and it came near, and the voice of the Lord came on him. Let's read verse 32, 33, and 34 again. Saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send them to thee unto Egypt. Alright, so how did the Lord identify himself to Moses here?
I am the God of the fathers.
Fathers, okay. And the three fathers listed are?
Abraham,
Isaac, and Jacob. What was Moses' reaction when the Lord talked to him? He's afraid. Was he trembled? It was unusual. Did the Lord's voice ever appear when the Lord Jesus was here on earth? Did the Father ever speak? Yes. And what occasion did he speak?
My son.
This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. And what occasion was it?
Did you say that one, did those three people see his brother?
This one here?
Yes.
Turn what?
If you make it that simple with that camera.
This camera?
Uh-huh.
Right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Like this? Tell me how far.
Yes, wait, go back. I just want that side. Okay,
like that?
Fine. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's fine. We're camerizing here, camerizing a little bit, so that...
It's so much easier.
Yeah, it is.
There they are.
There they are, right there.
There they are.
Yes, Anna, do you have a comment?
The baptism.
Pardon me?
Baptism.
At the baptism, that was it. That's where the Lord spoke. The Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He spoke several other times, but that was the main time that he spoke. So he trembled, didn't behold. What does that mean, didn't behold? Here's a bush that burns. Huh? He didn't even look at it, see. Now, this bush, did it consume when it burned? Normally our bushes would consume, wouldn't they? But this was a special bush, a miraculous bush. It stayed alive, it was flaming, yet you've seen some of those candles that you can't blow out. That's a type of a flame, but it doesn't seem to destroy the candle. It just seems to blow. I don't know how that's done. Any of you know how that's done? Special chemical of some kind. Try to blow the candle out and it just stays lit. Yes, Bob?
That bomb thing that was put out here, if it burned and didn't burn up.
Is that what it was?
Don't you remember? It burned, but it had all the fire, and you put it out, and it was still there. Everything was there.
Yeah, it was one of those flames. See, a while back, a year ago, I guess about this month of January, after Christmas, somebody put a firebomb on our porch, and we didn't know it. We smelled smoke, and it would burn all the way in the basement, and so this was the type of a thing that was just, it kept burning, but this thing was still there. You put it out, and there's still this type. So it must have been an accelerant.
It went out.
Pardon me?
It went out.
It went out, but what I mean is...
The intervention helped put it out, but boy, this bush did not go out.
No,
it was not consumed.
It was not consumed. And this wasn't consumed either. Apparently, this thing that was out there was just sitting there, and you blow the thing out, it's still intact, the same, whatever, it was a little box of some kind. So I don't know how it was done, but anyway, the Lord did a miraculous thing here, and so what was the instruction of Moses to Moses in verse 33? And why did God tell him this? When do you do this? When you go to bed, all right. When do some other people do this?
When
they come in the door, because
they want to track dirt
factor into the door and the rugs and so on. And this is a custom that is in this country. And also in the other countries, especially in Japan and China, this is what they always do. And many of you, Tammy?
Sometimes moms, when their moms say, as soon as you walk in, you have to
yeah.
Well,
yeah. The mosque, right? That's true. So they try to keep it clean. So this is a...
No, I think there's more to it than cleanliness. Things like
that
they assign a respect for...
Allah? Yeah. Yes, Dan?
In Japanese culture, it's just a thing to keep the house clean.
Yeah.
You wear the shoes on the outside.
Right.
And you don't drag the dirt from the outside into the house, so you take the shoe off.
Yes, Albert?
Yeah, the girl I work with, Sandy, came over, and her son, who likes to bring over a meal for us.
Mm-hmm.
They come in the door, and I invited them in. I didn't even realize. We're sitting in the living room talking to John. I looked down, and both her and her son had their shoes on.
Uh-huh.
And I never noticed. I said, you guys walk around barefoot?
Yeah.
They had taken their shoes off at the door while I was talking to them. They had their shoes off.
Yeah.
So that's got, custom in their home.
I see that. Well, a lot of homes are in... We don't have the custom, so when I go into your house, pardon me if I leave my shoes on.
We now have this little hospital shoes.
Oh, really?
Little the shoes, so you can leave your shoes on and cover your shoes.
We got the shoe covers. That's good. Good. Anna?
Well, you would always want to take off your shoes when you swim in a pool.
That's right. When you swim in a pool, certainly the shoes should come off. Isn't that right, Adrian? Do you not agree with that?
No,
you agree? Okay, that's good. Now, he didn't even look at it. Shoes off the feet. How does God describe this place where Moses is?
Holy
ground. Now, I remember it said over here in verse 31, verse 30, Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, either way, an angel of... So Mount Sinai, what was going to happen at Mount Sinai?
Second son of Moses was Eliezer.
Eliezer, is
it?
Eliezer. Okay, or Eliezer. Okay, good. Good, I'm glad you found that. So now we've got both sons. Number one is what? Number one is Gershon. Number two, Eliezer, or whatever. All right, so we got the sons. So what was going to happen, as they say, in Mount Sinai? Did we answer that? What was going to happen at that place? Why did God say this?
You're going to receive the commandments.
See the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And the Lord appeared, didn't he, in that mount? And that was about the southern tip here of this peninsula, Arabian Peninsula. And the Lord appeared. What happened at that time when the Lord appeared to give those commandments? By the way, some people consider them to be just suggestions. All right? Instead of commandments.
Not that judge in Alabama.
Not that judge in Alabama. He kept on. But
God wrote himself.
He wrote himself in 10 tables of the law, didn't he? The law of Moses. Yes, Anna?
And meanwhile, down the hill, the Israelites were making this image.
That's right. Go
when okay. Moses came down, he broke the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
So he had to write them the next time.
Yes. Right in the table of the law. So this was the Mount Sinai. It was holy and got great smoke, a great earthquake. What would happen if someone touched that mount during Exodus 20? What would happen if someone touched that mount? He would die. He would be killed. Absolutely killed, because it was a holy thing. So this was still holy ground, and God had a purpose in it in the future. And then in verse 34, do you have a comment there?
No. You just have to run it back.
A question?
No.
No problem. Go ahead.
So you have a
question. I have a question.
Yes, but Trish.
The first time Moses received the commandment from the Lord, but of course he broke the tablet. But the second time, how did he receive it after?
Well, I think the Lord wrote again. I don't know if Moses wrote again. Let me just see. That would be Exodus 32.
Moses wrote
again. Moses, wasn't it?
Exodus 32 would tell that story, I believe. The journey be resumed, the song of blessing, the confessions, stands for the tent of meeting. He went back up into the mount. Second day of law, 34, I'm wrong, Exodus 34. And Moses said, the Lord told Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like in the first, I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table. So it's the Lord that wrote. That's Exodus 34, 1. So it is the Lord that wrote them the first time and wrote the second. Okay?
So which was the original?
Well, they both were original, but this was an exact copy. So the copies are equally powerful as the original. if it's an exact copy. See, that's why when we believe that the Old Testament Hebrew text that we have, the words of Moses and the words of David and all the Old Testament, if it's the exact same words, it's identical with the originals that they wrote originally. So that's the thing that we have confidence in. God has promised to preserve those words, Hebrew words, Greek words. We believe he has. So it's just like a tape recorder. You know, you get the original, you have a duplicator, you put that on there, and you duplicate one or two or three different tapes. Now, the words are the same if you're duplicating words. And so it isn't exactly the original, but it's the same words. Therefore, the power and strength are identical. The quality may be different. The medium, like paper that you write on. So this, I think, is what we have in our Bible situation, simply do it like a tape recorder. But the ones that don't believe that God has even promised to preserve those Hebrew and Greek words, don't believe he has preserved them. They don't think that there's a tape recorder here that's duplicating. They don't believe there's a duplication process. They think it's all kinds of mistakes and errors and need to be corrected and so on. So there's a problem there. Now, in verse 34, what was the Lord's concern? And for whom was he concerned? Was he concerned for the Egyptians? What they were doing? Who were his people of concern?
The Israelites.
Does God have concern for those that are saved today, those that are believers?
Yes.
They're his people. Remember, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I follow them. That's what we learned. As I remember, it was in John chapter 10, verse 27. And so, I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in here. What is affliction? What type of affliction are they undergoing? What rigors?
The taskmasters.
And what was their task? What did these Egyptians have to do? What was their
to build
make bricks in order to make pyramids and Ramesses and the Goshen and these different places? Probably the pyramid building. Anna?
At one time the straw was given.
That's right. The first time they had the straw, but then they had to go search for it in the stubble and whatever they could make up. But the tail of bricks was the same. What does that mean? The tail.
The number required.
The tail, like a teller would do. They had the total requirement. So now, why were his people in Egypt? Was that a good place or a bad place to be?
Bad place.
Bad place. All kinds of wickedness, idolatry, sinfulness. But his people were there. And what did the Lord know about his people? Did he care for his people there in Egypt in verse 34?
Yeah.
Does he care for his people today in this wicked world? If those that are saved, does he care about us?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. And he's heard their groaning. What does that mean? What sort of groaning?
Mourning.
What is it?
Mourning.
Mourning, alright, a mourning type of thing. Loud. What were they groaning about? Is it good to groan or bad to groan? Or can you not help it? There was slavery, wasn't there? There was slavery there. What does it mean? Albert.
It's been written they had to produce the same number of bricks, but the taskmasters took away the straw, yet they were still required. That was groaning, but that was something beyond their control.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes you can't help it. When you hurt, you cry, and so they were hurting, I'm sure. So what's the difference between, what does it mean to gripe? Is that an expression you folks are used to? Grape means to complain. What does Philippians 2:13 mean? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom he shines as lights in the world. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. What does that mean? Make your bed without murmuring? Take out the garbage without murmuring? Wash the car without murmuring? Go to school? Yeah. But groaning, they were in pain, weren't they? They were hit with whips, I'm sure. Starved, perhaps, these slaves. Very great slavery. You know, you see some of the history, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but all the slave ships, for example, the people chained in their seats and staying there throughout the voyages and pulling the oars and just sleep right there, eat right there. I mean, it's a terrible thing. So I don't know what they did, but they were in great groaning and burden. So what was God's plan in verse 34?
Deliver them out of Egypt.
Okay, and the first few words that talk about that say what?
Prophet.
Okay, prophet, that's right. But the verse 34 says he's heard of, and then what's his next? What's the action word there?
I'm come down.
What does that remind you of?
Quit. Christ is in
Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came down, didn't he? He came down. That means he came from a place of higher than into the lower. And this is what the Lord does when he sees us in trouble. And he saw the entire world in trouble, and Christ was sent. The Son of God was sent from heaven. He came down. You know, I preached a whole series on that several Christmases back. I have a sermon I preached on that. Christ came down. And various references. I came down from heaven to do my Father's will. I came down. Probably 14 references in the book of John on his coming down. And the Lord, when he sees something messed down here, he comes down to take care of it. Now, could he have done it by remote control?
No.
No, he takes people. Could he do remote control today with giving people the gospel? Bonnie, you had a...
Well, I was listening to somebody. He comes down sometime in judgment, like in Sodom.
Yes, in Sodom and Gomorrah. He came down to see what was wrong. He told Abraham about it. Abraham pled with him to find 50 people. Will you stop the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah? 40?
30?
20?
10?
Anna?
Nineveh?
Nineveh also. Nineveh. They repented at first. They did not get judged. And Jonah was there for Nineveh. And then they did finally get judged. So he comes down. And the Lord Jesus came down, not by remote control. He didn't send an angel. He sent himself, the Lord Jesus himself. God himself came down. I came down. What was he coming down for in verse 34?
To deliver.
Well, spiritually, can people in this wicked world who are lost and in Satan's family be delivered from their sins? And if so, how?
God's word has come down for us to share the gospel.
Okay. And through the gospel, they can be delivered. What's the gospel?
Jesus Christ. Oh, you mean to goodness.
Yeah, yes. What is it?
Meaning?
To tell people, yes. Then what is involved in the gospel of goodness?
John 3:16.
All right.
God is coming to the repentance, acknowledging God for who he is and his son that he has sent.
Mm-hmm.
And through repentance and belief upon him.
All right. And realizing we're first of all sinners and in need of salvation, otherwise, what do we need for it? Yes, Anna?
That Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again a third day.
That's part of the gospel, isn't it? Died for our sins. That means we're sinners, we've got to realize that. And so, the Lord came down to deliver us, and he wanted to deliver his people. But what is it? Who is he going to use in verse 34?
Moses.
And let's read verse 35, 6, and 7 together. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made he a ruler and a judge? The same that God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, the Red Sea, and the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Alright, so in verse 35, this Moses. Did Moses accept with glee the assignment to deliver his people? Did he like that assignment?
No.
No? He questioned it. Why did he question it?
He feels that his ability to have eloquent speech.
Okay, he couldn't speak too well. What else?
That they wouldn't listen to him.
All right, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't believe him. Who am I? And then also, what about his mouth? What did Moses say about his mouth? Didn't have eloquent speech. And so Aaron was going to help him. Aaron was going to help him be his spokesman. But Moses, he was the same as God did send to be a ruler and deliver. Did Moses put himself in this position? Did Moses desire and seek this?
No.
No, he didn't. And we perhaps don't seek to be an instrument to lead others to Christ, but we should be interested in leading others to Christ. And the Lord has called every Christian, every saved person, to be a missionary. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and this is incumbent upon us. But God sent him to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel. Now, who is this angel? It's probably the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament book of Exodus. The angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? Now, maybe you don't know that, but The angel of the Lord, as you see, trace that expression all the way through the Old Testament. He is deity. The angel of the Lord is deity. Then the second question, which person of the Godhead would it be? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And many have felt that it's God the Son. The Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, the Old Testament, was the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate state, called a Christophany, appearance of Christ before his birth in Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord, God the Son, in pre-incarnate form. And that's what many feel. I feel that's a good doctrine that we should hold to. The hand of the angel which appeared to him in the books. This wasn't just any angel. There are millions and millions of angels. This is the angel of the Lord, the special angel who is the Lord himself. In the bush. Yes, Bob?
So the one thing I am in the bush was Jehovah.
Jehovah? I think the Lord Jesus himself. I am that I am. He's in the bush. And then verse 30 says, what did the Lord do then to the Israelites? Brought them out. After he did what? Okay, now there are three different occasions of the signs and wonders. What are the three? First, signs were in verse 36. Well, that's a sign. I mean, where did he show these signs? Not the first sign. Where is it? Egypt was the first place. What's the second place he showed sign?
Red Sea.
What's the third? Wilderness. So here's your three different places. What type of signs or miracles or wonders did he show in the land of Egypt?
The plagues.
So all the plagues. All right. There were 10 plagues. And the last plague was the most severe, and that's what led Pharaoh to get him out.
Firstborn
was killed. All right. And, yes, Anna?
I have a question.
All right.
When Jesus Christ was in the bush, would he be more like a spirit and be more in the form of a human being?
Well, he may have been in the form of a spirit there at the angel of the Lord in the bush, but he was obviously seen. Maybe he was took the form of a person, one that would be seen. Because you remember when the Lord went down to tell Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, there were two men that came. See? And so they were like, they could see, be seen, but then he was addressed as God and the Lord. So we're not sure, and I just don't know the answer to that. Could be either in a spirit form or could be in a visible form, because at least Moses could hear the angel of the Lord. He may not be able to see him, but he could hear him. Goodbye.
Well, then that makes me think about when the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Day of Pentecost, whenever it was, the Holy Spirit came down and, like, fire.
Flames of fire, as of fire.
But he didn't have, the Holy Spirit never had a body.
No.
I never thought of Jesus, the burning bush, having a person in there.
Well, not necessarily in there, but he was there, the presence. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord, it says the Lord said, then it says the angel. notice it says in the verse 31, the voice of the Lord came to him. See verse 31? And then here in this verse, it says, where's the angel?
35.
Yeah, 35, the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He put a hand of the angel. So, the Lord is the angel. See, that's it. The Lord is in that case. Yeah, Bonnie?
Well, in verse 30, and what 4 years ago, God appeared to him in the wilderness. An angel of the Lord in a flame of fire.
Uh-huh. So here's an angel of the Lord. And then it says the Lord, the voice of the Lord came to him. So the angel of the Lord brought the voice of the Lord. So there was the Lord himself as an angel. Yes, Anna?
Lord on high.
No, this was the Lord upper and lower, see. Adonai. Alright? So the miracles in the land of Egypt, there were 10. Final one was the death of the firstborn. What about the signs and wonders of the Red Sea? What did the Lord do there? Okay, part of that sea. This is the Red Sea here, and it was parted so the Israelites could go out free from Egypt, right across wherever it may have been. And that was a miraculous thing, wasn't it? What do the moderns say about the crossing of the Red Sea? Liberals. Sea breeze. And what do they say about the depth of that sea? Shallow, maybe 2-3 inches. But what does the Bible say about the fate of the Egyptians? What was their fate?
Drowning.
Would it be able to drown in several inches of water? Or?
Well,
standing up.
They were
recorded.
You put your nose.
Yeah, but you'd also fall flat on your face. So they either drowned or they didn't drown, see? So obviously, the Lord's word is correct, and there was water enough that could part and the Israelites would go through. And when the Egyptians and the armies went through, it was closed and they drowned in the sea. We believe it's true, and there's no question. God tells us, and that's what the Red Sea miracles. It was just as much of a, which was the greater miracle, the parting the sea or bringing back the water upon the Egyptian soldiers, or were they equally probably taking away? Now, I guess any of us, if we had the push button that could make it happen, could maybe release some sluice gates or something and make water come back in. But the part, that's where the pressure is. That's where the power is, isn't it? Coming back, it's just gravity flow. Just let it go and it'll just automatic. So the Lord had the power to do both. And then what about the miracles in the wilderness? Verse 36. What were those?
The manna
from heaven. How many days did it come?
Six.
What happened the seventh?
They were supposed to gather.
Gather enough on the sixth, so nothing happened the seventh. They didn't have any. Any other miracles, Anna?
The smiting of the rock.
Smiting of the rock, which brought forth what?
Water.
From the rock, that was a miracle, wasn't it?
And Aaron's cane.
Aaron's cane or rod that budded and so on, and that could hold. Yes, Anna, another one?
Did they hold it clean the water?
Yes, there was some bitter water. They threw a tree to make the bitter water sweet. That was one of the things that happened. That was probably in the time of Elijah or Elisha, however, rather than the wilderness. That was the time of that. But he led them, didn't he, through the wilderness. At what point did the Israelites move in that wilderness? That's a big wilderness. How long were they there, according to this verse?
40 years.
40 years. Who determined when they moved from place to place? Why did they take 40 years? Couldn't they have gone right into the land of promise?
I think they were afraid.
Yes?
They were afraid that they didn't trust the Lord.
Okay, who were they afraid of over here?
The giants.
There were giants in the land, weren't they? They were afraid. God said, I want to bring you in. And so they feared that. How many... So then they tried to go, but they weren't successful. But the thing is, the Lord punished them. What was the year, the ages? Remember we talked about that several weeks ago. What were the ages that God brought into the land and those that he slew and killed in that wilderness? Where's the age break? 20. Okay, 20 years and under were spared. And the older ones, because they refused to obey the Lord, they had to wander for 4 years. Now, who determined where they went and when they went?
The Lord.
There's a verse that my wife and I have memorized years ago, Numbers 7:14. 7 times 2 is 14. These are numbers. Number 7:14. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the command of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. We've used that many times on our particular moves, Navy chaplain moves, school moves, coming here. We said, we will move when the Lord impels us or shows us that it's time to move. We've been here now, what was it, 36 years?
37
years, and I have to keep track of it.
One time I thought the cloud was quaking.
Yes, she thought it was quaking, but that was our verse. See, that's how the Israelites moved. They had movements, and it's in the book of Numbers, every single place they moved and how long it was. Sometimes it was only a day or two. Sometimes it was a week. Sometimes a month. They moved in 40 years about 40 plus times. If you count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 40 times. Now, that's not an average of once a year, but I mean, that is the total. But sometimes they stay longer than others. They move. Now, who told them to move?
The Lord.
How did the Lord tell the Israelites to move?
With the cloud.
Pillar of cloud. And who, did they have an order of moving, or did they all just fall out?
But the ark was
part. There's a certain order, wasn't there? The Israelites had a special order around that camp. Now, you see over in that picture there on the wall of the tabernacle, you see the tents of the different tribes on these north side, east side, west side. So where the cloud is, that's the east side, see? And the west side's here and so on, and the north side to the left and to the right of the picture would be the south side. And so the Lord had a pattern, didn't he? And the three tribes would go here, three more tribes here, then the tabernacle would be in the center, the priests, then three more tribes here, three more tribes there. So it was a 3-3-6, and then the tabernacle, then six more behind it. They had an order. Who took the tabernacle down?
The Levites.
The Levites, and who took the special furniture down inside the Holy of Holies?
The priests.
The priests. All right, and so, but they packed that thing up. There are three families of the Levites. What are they?
Gershon.
Kohath.
Aaron.
And Merari. And they all had their jobs. Merarites, I believe, were the ones that took the heavy posts and poles and heavy things. They had wagons. And they had, I think, two wagons. I'm sure, I think they were two. The Gershonites took the hangings, cloths, and so on for the service. But the Kohathites took the articles of the temple, the tabernacle, the grace and altar, and the altar of incense, and the mercy seat, and those things like that. So they didn't have any. They had to bear them on their shoulders. Anyhow, the Lord told them to move. Now, do you like to move? Have all of you moved different places? How many times have you all moved? Now we have about four families here. One, two, three, four, five families we have here with us. How many times have you moved?
Nine.
Okay. Son, how many have you moved?
Three.
Mario?
Three.
And Trish, or Dan?
6 and 10 years.
6 and 10 years. And Danny? Our Dan? And Tammy?
Well, how far do you want to go back?
Well, 10 times, okay.
At least.
I mean, in your own family, I mean, when you're growing up and all?
No, I mean...
Oh, there's two of you there, okay. About 10 times.
You did move 10 times?
How many times have we moved, honey?
Well, I've lost track. But okay. How did they move 10 times? I'm interested in that.
Oh, different houses, you mean? Places, son, apartments, and... Right?
Oh.
No. So she doesn't want to talk. Now, we've moved a number of times. We went to Dallas Seminary. So we moved from Ohio to Dallas. Then we went from Dallas Seminary to Indiana.
We went from Dallas to Ohio.
Ohio, Cedarville, Ohio. Then we went to Lafayette, Indiana. And then we went from there to the Chapman Corps. Then we moved to Miami, Florida. Then we went to
New Jersey.
Jersey.
I've lost
track already. No, before that we went down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and then New Jersey. Oh, yes, New Jersey first. All right, so we've got a number of places. And then we went to Massachusetts. Massachusetts. The point of it is, the question I want to ask you is it a great joy to move all of your furniture?
Well, when the Navy does it for you,
son. I know it's a paper, but even then, is it a great joy? You still have to manage things and move this here, put this in a box, and so I tell them what to do. But you see, the Lord, here's the thing. Not only did he force them for 40 years in the wilderness, but he made them move and move and move and move. And I'm sure they groaned and complained every move. If they're better people, see. Because they rebelled against the Lord. But they had to move. They had God move. So he went down and the miracles in the wilderness, the water, from the thing, the manna from the heaven, all these miracles, leadership, guidance, and that's what happened, 40 years. All right, let's read 37, 38, and 39. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church of the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt. All right, 37. It identifies Moses. Now, this is an interesting thing, isn't it? In this, he talks about a prophet that the Lord would raise up. This is in Deuteronomy. And who is this going to speak about? Who is this speaking about, this prophet?
Jesus Christ.
The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself. Your fathers, your God and father would raise up. Like unto your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Well, did Israel hear the Lord Jesus Christ? What does John 1:10 say? He came unto his own received him not. So if he's all received them not, he didn't receive them, did they? But they should have received them. But one day will they receive them? Yes. When will that day come?
The millennium.
When the Lord Jesus comes back on this earth after the saved ones are snatched away, after the 7 year period, they come back and the nation will be born in a day, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But that's going to be a different day. But one day they will hear him. And then verse 38 talks about the church in the wilderness. In what sense was it a church? What does that word church mean in the original English language years ago to 1611? What is a Kirche, German for church?
Assembly.
Assembly of people. That's an assembly of people. So, does this teaching that there was the church was in the Old Testament?
No.
No, it's not teaching, but it's just church in the sense of a building, an assembly place together. And so, it talks about the assembly of the church in the wilderness, and with the angel, which he was the one to him at Mount Sinai, and said verse 5. Now, what is it lively oracles? At Mount Sinai, he received the lively oracles. What are those oracles?
Ten Commandments.
All right. And there was a Mount Sinai, which is in the southern part of the desert, as we said. And with our fathers. And then verse 39, did the Israelites always obey Moses? How did they rebel?
They murmured about the manna.
Murmured about the manna. What did they want instead of bread?
Food in
Egypt. What were some of the things they had in Egypt? All these things that are gas producing. The melons, the onions, the garlic, the leeks. They loved that stuff. And furthermore, they didn't want just the bread, the manna. What did they ask for? Crave.
Meat.
So what did God do to them?
Send quails.
So many quails, they just grabbed them as they're dry. And did the people have good eating manners?
No, some gathered more.
More?
Supposed to.
Do you have good eating manners? Don't answer that. just ask you some other questions, see? How did they go about this flesh once they got it? Was the Lord pleased with the way they ate that meat? Was he displeased? What did he do?
Meat that was left over, then it was rotted the next day.
Rotted, that's true. See, he judged them. It says while the flesh was still in their teeth. They were so greedy and just gobbled that stuff up, and he judged the people. Yes, Tammy?
So he was judging them because of the way they were eating it, or that they requested it to begin with?
Well, I think both of them, I'm just saying that the eating habits weren't too good because they just were pigs. That's what I'm saying. See, I think they were eating more than they should have eaten. That's what I'm saying as far as eating habits. What is it?
He fed them flesh, which brought leanness to their soul.
Leanness, it says in the Psalms, he granted them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. That when they asked for flesh, they wanted flesh. Yes. Yes, Anna?
You don't mean that they were pigs,
No, they ate like pigs. That was a metaphor. They were pigs. If I said they were like pigs, that's a simile. They were pigs, that's a metaphor. Like pigs are similes. But it's still figures of speech, yeah. Anybody want to look at that eating flesh situation? I think it's in the book of Numbers. And I want to see there why the Lord judged them. Numbers 14 is Kadesh Barnea, where they didn't go up the mount. Years of wandering in chapter 15 of Numbers. Same thing of Korah, chapter 16. Aaron's rod that budded. Miriam, water from the rock. Where does it say, give us flesh? Years of wandering, never forget sin. Balaam. Maybe it's in Exodus, but I thought it was Numbers or somewhere.
Maybe our video people can
handle it. Our video people, yes. Would you look up where it is? If you don't have our computer right here, we just immediately say flesh. Give us flesh to eat. But it may be in Exodus.
Numbers 11, verse 13.
Oh, it was Numbers. Thank you. Numbers 11, 13. Tell me about it. What is God saying about
it? You mentioned I have flesh to give unto all the people, for they weep and say, saying, give us flesh that we may eat.
All right, and verse what?
13.
And am I able to bear all this people alone? Verse 14. Numbers 11, 14. How do I say? Now, did they find, where's the final reception of that flesh? It tells the food that they like. They fell a lusting. They eat the foods of Egypt in verse 5. Numbers 11, 5. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions. I remember that, and the garlic. All that strange food, but I suppose it's good for you. The quails. That's it. Verse 31 in the plague. There, 11:31. So the Lord sent forth a wind and brought quails from the sea and let them fall over the camp, as it were, a day's journey, and the side, as it were, a day's journey on the other side. Round about the camp, 2 cubits high. How high is a cubit? Arms like, in other words, from the tip to the elbow, the tip of the finger to the elbow, 2 cubits. So that's about 3 feet above the earth. And verse 32, and the people stood up all that night, all that day, rather, all that night, all the next day. They gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers. They spread them all abroad, and the shells right about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, see, I was right about those teeth. The anger of the wrath of the Lord was kindled against me, and the people spoke. People are very great plague. He talked. Keeper of Vatava, because there they buried the people that lusted. So I think the quantity that they had, you know, 10 omers, I mean, they just grabbed and grabbed and grabbed. You think that they're going to run out of quail or something. If they had just taken one, cooked it, eaten it, maybe the Lord would have been all right, but they just grabbed that thing. So, anyhow, yes, Allard.
Would we assume that the Lord sent that abundance just to test their greed?
Sure, might be. Might be, because in Psalm 110, is it, that talks about this historically? The Psalm 103, along in there, Psalm 101, 2 or 3, seems like that's where we get that he granted their request, sent leanness to their soul. I don't know exactly which Psalm, but it's in the 103, 104, 101, 100. Yes, it probably was a test. They asked for it, Dan.
I see it also as instruction, because the manna was sufficient for them to survive and to thrive, but they didn't see it in their greed. So he sent them enough that they had everything they wanted more, and they still weren't satisfied.
Still weren't satisfied. They just, yes.
They must have assumed that every person had that greed.
Not necessarily, but enough of them were that they punished. I'm sure he punished the ones that had the greed, I suppose. There was something that the Lord judged as a people. And so, but I think it was a testing, and there was a learning experience, and it was a judgment. There's no question about that. So, back to Acts chapter 7, and they had all these things. And went to our fathers. Now, lively oracle, where were we? Verse 38, 39, what was it, 39? Okay, 39. The fathers were not obeyed. What's that? What's a son?
No, my husband is anxious.
Two.
Stop.
Stop.
Come on, stop.
He didn't hear the click yet.
That's
right. Oh.
At the time. Well, today, he's taking Anna, so.
Oh, well, he's trying to hold it late, so it's not exactly on time yet. Does Anna, you have a question?
Yeah. A comment.
Comment?
Yes. Would it be possible that because of the verse, all things work together for good?
Yes, that's possible. All things work together. So the judgment on the quails, that could be all together. To whom our fathers would not obey, they wouldn't obey Moses, thrust him from them. And what about their hearts? That's an interesting verse 39. What did the Israelites want to do?
They wanted to go back to Egypt.
Back to Egypt.
Wasn't that bad after all?
Wasn't that bad after all? Back to the slavery, back to being hit and whipped, and back to short food rations. And they said, let's make us a captain to go back. At one time they said they wanted a captain.